We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. This is the O-Line Committee.
Boys, happy Combine Week to you both. Happy Combine Week to all who celebrate. Happy Shrimp Cocktail at Elmo's Week to all who celebrate.
Can't wait.
Fuck. Cannot
wait. Do you guys have reservations? You're just going to try and walk in and wing it?
Nope. Big Dog got resis this year. 10 o'clock. We're going to be there at 10 p.m., baby. It's go time. I'm so excited.
The shrimp cocktail at 10 p.m. is going to be an interesting experience. It's when I try to go to bed and just rumble into my stomach after a few old fashions. We'll see if they mix well together, but I'm sure they do.
What makes it such a legendary shrimp cocktail at the Combine? Is it the horseradish?
Yes.
People talk. I've never had it. The horseradish?
Dude, it hits your tongue, and it sends you in different directions. Like, you're at one point, you're like, why the fuck am I eating this? So it's like, because it's so good. You're like, God, I can't breathe. Oh my God.
But then as soon as you swallow it, you're like, back into the abyss. Right? Like, you like, it, while it's happening, your eyes are watering. Oh, you look like shit. And you're like, and as soon as you swallow it, more. Like, you just right back into it. It's so fun. And anytime you take someone that's never had it before and you order it, they're like, oh, that's some shrimp cocktail. And you're like, yeah, load it up. It's delicious.
Load it up.
And then you're just like, then you can smell it. And they're like, are you sure? I'm like, it's probably not enough. Probably get one more scoop on there. I bet you can do it.
It's a show. It's a stare down of football. It people. Is, dude. Another scoop.
Everybody at the tables are just eating it. And they're constantly like, terrible.
But here, you want to know what's funny? So St. Elmo's is right next to Harry and Izzy's. And for whatever reason, everyone wants to go to St. Elmo's. And they're like, it's St. Elmo's. It's legendary, right? It's this, it's that. Harry and Izzy's is the same kitchen, just like one door down, and it's the exact same food. But for whatever reason, people get all hung up about, nope, got to go to Elmo's. Got to be St. Elmo's. I'm like, it's the same kitchen with the same food, and there's more space at Harry and Izzy's. Like, not the same. I'm like, oh my gosh.
I got to go to Arby's. No, Sbarro. I'm a Sbarro guy. Dude, no, Arby's. Yeah. No, they're sharing.
When you go into St. Elmo's, I mean, shoulder to shoulder, there are people everywhere. And you're like, and then you go over to Harry and Izzy's, and it's just like, oh my God, I can breathe. It's fine. It's not so hot in here. Like, it's insane. But Jay's right. Same food, great food. Love it. Can't wait. So excited.
Dude. Combine week. I get there on Wednesday. So I'll
go
there.
Thursday.
I'll be there Wednesday through Monday morning.
And the workouts start. Yeah. So when do like the players get put through the ringer? So Wednesday night.
Thursday night. Yeah. I think D linemen got there today or yesterday on Monday, and then they don't work out until Thursday, I believe, or maybe Wednesday.
Yeah. No, I think it's Thursday. I think you're right. Yeah.
What's your Mount Rushmore of favorite combine workouts or exercises or mental tests? What's the George? Is it the 40? The George Washington on the Mount Rushmore?
I mean,
is it the three cone drill for you? What's the
it's
the bench? Little 225.
Dude, the bench is definitely the George Washington for the O-line.
The bench is up there.
Like,
yeah,
I will say this. For sure up there. And this is why, like, no matter what happens at the combine, when you get on the bench, you're in your element. And I'm just telling you, like, it is. And it's crazy because it's changed from when I did it to when they're doing it now. Like, when I did it, it was like they brought you in a tiny room and everybody was in there and you were like, oh my God, they're watching me. And, like, Coach Lott was up there and he was like, you motherfucker, you better get it. You're going to crush. And he smacked me so hard in the ribs when I went up. I thought he dislocated one of my ribs.
Like, wait, while, I was you're, like while you're benching the 225?
Everybody was like, dude, you got to be very careful because this guy's a nut. He was the one that was on the old Under Armour commercial with Joe Thomas. Like, come on, let's get it. Like, he was notorious. And so when he lifted the 225 off for me, it almost went out of my hands. And I was like, whoa, buddy. And it lifted me off the bench. And I was like, Jesus, this guy's like, and then stands over, he's like, come on, let's fucking go. And you're like, okay, let's go. Dude, I was just going and going and going. And then all of a sudden somebody touched my leg and they were like, stop bouncing. And I was like, seriously, you're fucking kidding me. Dude, I was so mad, but I still got 34 reps. So I was super excited. So that would be the George Washington. The one thing, honestly, dude, the 40. It's just the worst. You're running it, and like halfway through, you're like, everyone's laughing at me. I know they are. I think my knees just touched. Oh my God. Like, dude, it is one of the worst fucking feelings.
Dude, who was it? Was it Andre Smith who just did it shirtless?
Don't.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? I'm going to lean into this. Dude. I'm taking the
Andre was my roommate, and I was there when he left. What? And they came to me, and they were like, what the fuck? And I was like, long story short, he's not here. They were like, what do you mean he's not fucking here? And I was like, he told me to tell you guys, like, all of you, he's leaving. And they were like, when the fuck did this happen? I go, probably around midnight. I don't know what you want me to do. I was like, was I supposed to stop him? They were like, yes, stupid. I was like, suddenly this guy's my fucking teammate now. I'm at the combine with him and he leaves and it's my responsibility. Dude, they were so pissed.
No man left behind.
No man left behind. They were like, you should have followed him out of the hotel until the fucking plane. I was like, oh my God. Just never can win at the combine.
Dude, Terrence, do you remember Terrence Cody, the D lineman from Alabama that ran the 40 and it was just like, brr, brr. Like, he was just so, he was like 400 pounds. Just rolls everywhere. And then the legendary one is Chris Jones ran in and his freaking dick fell out.
Remember that?
Right?
Yeah.
Like
his shorts came down.
All of a sudden, he's like laying on the ground, like he's just pushing everything down. Everyone's like, what's wrong with this guy? And he's like, afterwards, he's like, everything just kind of fell out. Because he wanted to wear the spandex. We didn't realize they were boxers. And so they had like hole in the middle where, that one was bad.
Awesome.
So, dudes, it's Combine Week. We've got some juicy mics here. We've got some great dumb football questions. Before we dive into the mics, and we're going to reflect back on what wound up being the biggest episode of the O-Line Committee podcast to date, and welcome to Kirk Cousins' Twitter, both of you guys. You're now officially initiated.
I don't have Twitter. Welcome, Jeremiah.
We sent you enough screenshots.
I can't believe that many people are typing during the day. Like, I just can't. The shots just kept coming at the most random times.
We will get to it in a second. But if you guys are new to the podcast, or if you've maybe jumped on board 8 months ago when we started, thank you for getting us to 18,000 YouTube subscribers yesterday.
You
guys are the best.
If some of y'all are haters, appreciate you.
I love it.
Just hate watching right now. The two best things you can do to help us grow this thing. Again, we're 8 months into this venture. Click the like and the subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Oh, three things. Jeremiah's got the Spreadser for Losers merchandise on. Shameless plug. OLinecommittee.com for all your offensive line lifestyle merchandise. And you can follow us on social media, any platform, at O-Line Committee to help us grow this thing. So we start every show with Who's the Mike, where we identify, in offensive lineman fashion, the most important things on our mind around football. So I will start with the first mic here, boys, and it's Kirk Cousins' Twitter, which you guys stepped in last week. So here's what happened. I don't know if you live in a cave here in the O-Line Committee universe and you somehow didn't consume last week's episode. We talked about Kirk Cousins, what the Vikings should do. And I think about halfway through the discussion, I brought up, all right, I'm just an idiot with a Vikings NFC Championship 1998 hat. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. You guys played 16 years in the NFL. It kind of bothers me that he takes 24 hours off on Tuesdays. And you guys both said, yeah, you know, like based on our 16 years of experience in the NFL, one of you played in the Super Bowl, the other one played with Philip Rivers and Cam Newton. You say, that's kind of weird, right? Did you expect the avalanche of negativity, calling you guys idiots, calling your families ugly? Like, what is your reaction to Kirk Cousins' Twitter after you stepped in it last week?
Dude, I fucking laughed.
First of all of you get sensitive, fine.
For sure. Ultra sensitive.
And then we're going to come back for an ultra sensitive for all of you as well.
I'm writing this down.
Listen.
Keeping notes.
If you watch the episode, nowhere in there did we attack Kirk Cousins' character. Nowhere in there did we say that he was a dog shit quarterback. All we talked about was that I have had zero experience with quarterbacks that didn't at least come into work a little bit on Tuesday, right? And everyone that was defending, like, well, Patrick Mahomes went to his daughter's soccer games on Tuesday or this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, but I promise you he went and did some work before that because Kirk very plainly said, I don't do any football for 24 hours on Tuesday. I get away from it. I don't do any of it.
He does body work. He does get the massage, the deep tissue.
That's different. Okay. There's prep, right? There's prep. And then other people, last rebuttal here, the idea that he's not prepared on Sundays, right? Like, obviously he's prepared. He's putting up numbers. Great. You can be prepared. But the caveat there is, are you ready for everything? Right? That's the last thing. Are you ready for everything that can be thrown at you? Or is there one or two times a game where, like, Kirk, you missed that one, bud. You missed that blitz. You missed that read. Like, once or twice, that's all it takes. And in a game that requires precision all the time, we'll see. And all I know is I'm starting to read more things about the Vikings possibly not bringing Kirk Cousins back. And I'm just going to sit there and let you know, I keep receipts. And when all this comes down, we'll see what happens.
Such a hater. So much hate.
I know, right?
There's so much hate in your heart, Jeremiah.
Hater.
Such a hater as I just spell out the truth.
Jay, I forgot to tell you. I had the best weekend ever. Just fucking ever. I went all over the place for hockey, and I got into a lot of conversations with a lot of people. And I mean, most of them were like, dude, I'm fucking with you. And I was like, thank you. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't have a Twitter because I don't give a fuck what any of you think, okay? I was in that room on Tuesday. I know what the GM and the head coach are saying. I know what the fucking owner's saying. I know. I don't care. I'm telling you, it's the truth. And it's okay. And I'm not even mad. And you've all been fine for sensitive. I used to love when people get hit with sensitive because you'd be like, let them say something.
Say something else.
Boop, ding, ultra. And then if it kept going, it was like, dude, now it's a fight.
I'm going to see if we can get a sensitive ding for one of you guys here because I'm going to read some tweets about you from Kirk Cousins' Twitter last week.
This is the best.
Let's start with Wyatt. Wyatt chimes in here. I don't think Wyatt played in the NFL, but Wyatt has some opinions for you guys. Yeah, shame on Kirk for caring more about his kids and wife than his career. What a bad human being that Kirk Cousins is.
Yeah, because asking you to work 18 Tuesdays out of the 52 weeks and pay you $45 million. Terrible of us to ask you to work and win us football games.
Maybe you'd be a better parent,
maybe I'd be a better dad. But
maybe I could coach another sport. Maybe I could have done something else.
I mean,
Boone coaches 14 sports for
and
four
I still
kids
went
right
on
now.
Tuesday all day. I mean, that's how life goes, man. They don't get it. They just don't understand that, like, for like 7 months you can do whatever you want. You can literally do and go and say, turn your phone off. Coaches don't have – they can call. You don't have to answer. They can't get mad because your response could be like, I want to be left the fuck alone. And their answer will be, so do I. I'm not mad at you.
See you in August.
I'm not even kidding you. That's their response. If you try to call a coach in the off season, they will not answer. And they'll text you back with, fucking busy, stupid. Leave me alone. Okay? But the minute you walk in August, your phone is fully charged. It is always off, like vibrate. And it is fucking ready for a phone call at night from that coach. And it is always ready to roll because that's the time that we're on because that's when we're getting paid. That's when you get paid to go in. And so there's like never like a, no, I can't make it today. Dude, we've only asked you to be here for like 3 months.
I mean, guys miss the births of their children. Like,
it happened.
But should
I miss Johnny's birth. I was at a game.
Adrian chimes in. Should they have to? Adrian chimes in and says, at the end of the day, it's a career. players need to have work-life balance like any other profession.
That's the most millennial Gen Z.
There it is.
Get up! I got it!
I hate that phrase so freaking much, dude. Work-life balance is maybe...
Hey.
That triggers me, and it triggers me in a bad way. Whenever I hear someone talk about a work-life balance, I'm like, you will not succeed. I'm sorry. Nothing in life will succeed. If you feel like you're a 24-year-old and you're like, I need more work-life balance, and I wish I was making 250K a year like the guy that's been here for 40 years. Like, I have a right to that. I deserve that. No, you earn that. You don't just get to walk into that. So as soon as I read that one, as soon as I hear the words uttered to me, work-life balance, I want to jump off a bridge.
Oh, I love this.
Okay. I keep going. This is great.
Okay, let's see. So, this is great. This is from Denumis. Imagine basing thoughts off these two players. Kirk has been a top 10 quarterback, but let's listen to players who never made the Pro Bowl talk about what it takes to be one of the best in the NFL.
Got me. Oh, shit. I mean, we weren't attacking Kirk's character. We were just simply talking off of our previous experiences in the NFL with potential Hall of Fame quarterbacks. That's all I'm going to say. My favorite, and I don't know if you saw this, Mac, my wife, I got home on Friday night from, we were up in Minnesota, and I came back, and she doesn't pay attention much on Twitter. I go, did you see what happened to me on Twitter this week? She goes, well, I go, I got dragged. She's like, what? She goes, I got dragged. And so she pulls up her tweet, and we may have had a few glasses of wine, and she starts going through, and she goes, this is hilarious. And then she started retweeting them. She started retweeting the mean tweets that everyone did. She's just like, this is hysterical. Like, you're getting murdered on here. I was like, yeah. And she just kept going. I was like, okay, that's enough.
I got to
like,
get
that's enough. She thought it was so funny.
I got to get on this.
Alex, thing. I think Alex should stay. Jay, this might need to be an intervention. I think Alex should stay.
It's a good, yeah. You need, like,
I just want to read these.
There's a reason when,
tweets.
Like, you have a thought, you call me.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You filter your thought through me, and then we decide if it's good to send out to the world or not. If you have Twitter, there is no filter. Sure. Like, there is no filter. It's just like, I should send this.
I'm not going to lie. About a month ago, Jay called me and was like, take it down fucking now.
Yeah.
I was like, what? He was like, right now. Yeah. Dude, that's how it was when I played. Jay called me like, nope, don't.
Can't do that.
Can't do that, buddy. We're humans. We don't do that.
I have alerts for whenever Alex posts so that I make sure I can get to it quickly if something happens.
Okay, here's one of the mean tweets that Jeremiah's wife retweeted to the internet world.
Hit it.
Searles is one of the worst Vikings linemen in history. Both of these dudes.
Dudes.
Both of these dudes most likely have CTE. They've been hit in the head a lot. Just because they played in the league doesn't make them experts. Kirk has had more success than both of these dudes combined. They're just bitter.
Okay.
I know this. I have more playoff wins than Kirk. So
I know. I've played in the Super Bowl. I don't know what the fuck anybody wants me to say. I don't have a response for any of this.
A little sensitive.
No, literally, I don't know. What do I say? That's a lie. I have had more success. I've been to more playoff games.
A little bit.
May not have made more money, but...
I wasn't a quarterback.
Sure won,
what the fuck you want me to do?
I won three playoff games. So.
Oh, here's I'll give you one more here. It's the most common response to this entire episode last week.
Is it the lazy
comment? It's some variation of, well, at least Kirk doesn't take Sundays off like Alex did for his entire career.
Dude, I read that and died. Johnny's like, what are you laughing at? I go, I don't even know. I don't know how to respond to this.
Where were you on Sundays? Where's a check?
Dude, I was at hockey. Man. I was at volleyball. I was dying laughing reading these. People are like, what are you laughing at? I'm like, people are crushing me. And they're like, yeah, you must. One of the girls' moms from volleyball, swear to God, comes out of nowhere on Sunday and goes, well, you've had an interesting weekend. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Even you've heard about this? All the dads were looking at me some type of way over in fucking Burnsville. Like, Soch, he's my guy. I'm a crusader.
Dude.
I'll die on the cross.
Why? What has he done to earn this loyalty from people? I'm so confused. Like, what is he done in Viking land?
He's a great guy.
Who gives a shit?
They don't understand. Nice, you have to separate personal from business. It's just and that's why there's no response to this.
It's just business.
You can't say anything. They're not going to believe it. It's constantly like, he's just a great guy. And we're like, we know he's a great fucking guy. Wears the Kohl's, does the chains, no shirt. Awesome. Fucking cool. Just can't win the big one.
And it's also the price point. Like,
that's what our biggest thing is.
If Kirk Cousins comes back for $15 million, dude, sign me up.
Fuck yeah.
All day long. Cool. Let's roll. If he comes back for $40, it's just not worth it. It's not personal. I'm not personally attacking Kirko. I like the guy. I think he's kind of a cool, quirky, fun guy. I just don't like him for the price point at which he's going to demand when he could go to another team that's closer to winning the Super Bowl for that price point.
Dude,
and
by the way,
start building.
Speaking of price point, he is gearing up. This is some quarterbacks.
Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, you saw the video.
Kirk shines in
March.
Dude,
the Monday of the combine, and there he is driving back.
Yep.
Tossing passes on a tennis court? Is that because just the ground is stable? You don't want to go out on the grass, right?
Yes. Okay. And listen, every quarterback in the NFL is somewhat of a trained killer.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
They're very calculated and very cold in the moves in which they can make, whether it's undercutting a coach at the end and being like, get that guy out, I don't want him, going rogue on a play call during the thing, or free agency. When all leading up to here, he's been talking about in his suits and he's not in his Kohl's cash anymore, looking good. He goes on to the NFL awards ceremony and he's dancing. And then the calculated move of Monday morning, combine meetings are beginning, calendars are filling up, and everyone at the combine is going to want to talk about Kirk. And he's just out there slinging the rock. He could have thrown it four times. Who knows? He could have thrown it four times. Like, you get that? Great. Post it. And that's all it would have taken. And now Twitter world's like, look at this guy. He's going to be great.
Here's the crazy thing. So there's all these platforms that have projected contracts for all the, like PFF and Spotrac and Over the Cap, right? They project everyone's contract figure. I've seen three different projection websites over the last month. All three of them have seen his value go up by like $10 million a year. In the last 30 days, nothing has happened except for him going on stage and dancing and him throwing footballs on a tennis court, right?
Yeah.
But him doing the media tour. And it is brilliant negotiation leverage by
it's
him.
Fantastic. It's how you have to do it.
He's going to get another $80 million guaranteed. And
dude, even the fans know why he posted that video. Everybody knows why he posted that video. Everyone's like, you're a fucking dog, dude. Like, I see what you're doing here. Look at him out there. Just like, oh, I'm just going to throw a couple passes. No big deal.
And the salary cap going up $30 million.
Dude, it went up big this year. Big.
How about that?
It's fucking huge.
Thanks, Taylor. Listen, may hate it on you, but if you brought the salary cap to go up $30 million,
somebody's getting paid.
Swifty.
Yeah, you resisted this all year. You in particular, Jay. Mr. Anti,
hey, and don't forget,
if we can push $30 million every year, I don't care what she does on TV.
Yeah, and you know, after a 4-year average, you have to spend all that money. So eventually, somebody on every team is going to get paid some fucking money.
Yeah, I think this opened the door for Kirk to get another max contract, like big contract, when the salary cap goes up by that much. Because I mean, they were projecting it to go up by like 8 at one point, and then it goes up by 30, and you're like, woo!
220 to 250.
Here we go.
They're like, damn.
Here we go.
Yeah.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, somebody else hit us with a mic here. Jay.
All right.
Jay.
I'll go with my mic. So, report came out this week that Marvin Harrison Jr. is not going to be running at the Combine, and that he may not even run at Pro Day. And I think it's great. And when asked why, he said, I want to go get better at football over the next 8 weeks, not get better at testing. And I think that's a phenomenal move by a guy like that. And I wish more guys were allowed to do that because it's so true. You get 8 weeks, right? So here's what I want people to understand. When you're a rookie, right, you get a year of hell. It's brutal, right? It is brutal. You get off your bowl game. Say you play in a Jan 1 bowl. You get off your bowl game. You immediately roll into your training facility. You're beat up from the season. You feel like dog crap. You get there for a few weeks. Immediately you go to your all-star game, go grind and pound out for another week. You get back. Now it's February 1st. You've got 4 weeks till the combine. You're honed in. You're day every day. You're going. You go to the combine. As soon as that's over, you're immediately going into your pro day sometime in March. You might have 10, 30 visits. You might be traveling all over the country in April, going to all these places. And then it comes to the draft. And then once you get drafted, you can't even join the team for 2 weeks. Right, you can't even show up for OTAs. You have rookie mini camp, and then you get to go home, and then you come back, and then you finally show up in the middle of May, and then you're there for 4 weeks essentially, and you leave in the middle of June, and then you get 5 weeks off or 3 weeks off, and then you come back in July. It's training camp. You don't get any development time in that. And when you spend the first 8 weeks of that focusing solely on just being a 40 runner and a jumper and a vert and all that stuff, you're losing valuable time of becoming a better football player and honing in your skills. And then when you show up in June, if you're not a freak show first, second, third rounder, like, you're behind the eight ball. And those coaches, when you show up, they no longer care, hey, how fast did you run? Hey, did you jump really high?
What was your three cone?
Like, your L drill amazing? It's like, hey, idiot, block that guy, run past that guy, catch that football, like, cover the D. Like, it just is no longer about that. And then you flip them immediately, be like, well, now you're not great. What happened? Why aren't you a good football player right now? Right? Oh, well, OTAs, you've already lost a ton of trust. Right? You've lost a ton of trust. You've lost a ton of that. And so then it falls down the line of, like, you're fighting an uphill battle in training camp for the 8 to 10 roster spots that are available. And so I wish more guys would take this approach and would focus on football. And I know you can't, because that's what the NFL is. And so I wish the NFL would find a way to get it back to focusing on football and focusing on what can make these guys better, because at the end of the day, it's going to make your team better. It's going to give you a better chance to win championships. But I just hate that the combine has become such a focal point for all these guys to come and train and run and do all these things fast when it doesn't really matter about football. Like, I wish the pre-draft process was more focused on football-related than it was combine-related, because at the end of the day, the combine was created for medical and interviews. And right. Then while they were all there, they're like, let's make the cattle run 40s. What do you think? Yeah? Should we make them all run and stand around their underwear for 2 hours?
Position groups where the data matters more? Like, an edge rusher has to hit certain data points? Or would you say that the data points collected aren't nearly as important as just watching film on a guy's 15 games in the regular season?
Yes. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's certain positions that, like, you need to know top-end speed, like receiver, DB. But, like, how many times have we seen a running back that's not a 4-4 guy but has a ton of success in the NFL because he's got great vision and great power and he can come on, like, find the holes, right? I mean, DNs is a weird one for me because there's so many DNs that ran super fast, but then they get on the football field and they're not – that strong, and so they're like, well, you're only a third down guy, I guess. Yep. Like, everyone oohed and aahed about that dude from Georgia last year that ran a 4.39. Didn't really hear his name called much this year, right? Like, you think an edge rusher, it's a 4.39, immediately you're like, ooh, ah. And then he disappears because he's only like 235 pounds. And you're like, sweet, come here, 4.9, I'll just 3.9, I'll just jump on you here, right? So there's so many data points that go to it, but none of that equivalents to football, in my opinion. I mean, maybe the 40 with a receiver that can run and getting out of breaks, but you can find that out watching guys tape. Like, you can find all that out with watching guys tape.
Not surprised, though. His dad played for a very long time, and I'm sure his dad, because I don't think he has an agent either, right?
Who?
Marvin Harrison?
Marvin Harrison Jr.?
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, I think I saw Caleb Williams doesn't have an agent, too.
Yeah, but, like, I'm sure Marvin Harrison's dad was like, listen, fuck this shit. You're going to go play ball. You're going to be a top pick. You don't need to fucking prove anything. Like, that's a dad that played a very long time that's like, I know what's going on, okay? And guess what? Coaches love you. They think you're a great player. you running this 40, running this cone, running this shuttle is fucking stupid. There's a lot of us that feel like that. At the same time, you have to go and do it. It's a test. It's a big test. That's exactly what this is. That's kind of why I'm not against it, because it's a test to pull you out of your element and fuck with you and see what you're about and be like, okay, I know you don't want to run a 40. Fuck, son, I don't give a shit what your 40 is. As long as it's under fucking 5.5, we're good. But at the same time, we're going to bother with you. Like, we're going to keep you up late. The boys were talking to the boys the other day. Like, they keep you up late. They wake you up early. You sit around. You take a ton of tests. You're asking lots of questions. And then at night, everyone's like, okay, let's go stretch and run around. And you're like, fuck. And they're like, yes, dude, that's what this is all about. This is all about how long can you handle this? How long can you stay at your max? How long can you sit here and ride this fucking show out? Because if you can go the whole time, congratulations, dude. Welcome to the league. That's what this is. It is a massive test because every day something fucking crazy is going to happen. Every day you need to be ready. Every day you have to be on high alert.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking here at the schedule, right? So I have a players for my schedule.
Oh, this is fun.
They are from on Wednesday when they arrive. Formal interviews go to 11:30 at night.
No
Thursday,
shit.
Thursday, when they arrive, start their morning at 6 a.m. Formal interviews end at 11:30 at night. Friday, 6 a.m. wake up, piss test. Formal interviews end at 10 o'clock at night. Saturday, 6 a.m. wake up, medical, end of 10:30 at night, formals. And there's something all day long.
All day long. There is zero time off.
And then they don't run till Sunday night.
Yep.
Right. So everyone thinks when you get to the combine, you're like, oh, these guys are rested. They're fresh legged. They're ready to go run. They're at the end of the week. Their brains are fried, scrambled potatoes. Like, they're all over the map. And then it's like, okay, go perform. And that's a piece of the test, too, of, hey, after we've messed with you all week, can you still go out and physically perform? So there are pieces to it. I just hate how much has been made of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And how much the public looks at it and takes it as gospel of guys like, oh, look at that test. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, he didn't get drafted on Saturday of the third day of the draft. It's like, because he's a shitty football player. Like, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. Like, people fall in love with these combine darlings that aren't necessarily good football players.
You know, here's my biggest question for you guys. The smartest front offices in the NFL and some of the smartest people, like John Elway was one of the great quarterbacks of all time. Runs the Broncos front office for a number of years. Can't identify a quarterback, right? The 49ers, John Lynch, the roster that they've built, Super Bowl contenders for years, Kyle Shanahan. They go through the entire process and say, yeah, we're trading all this capital to go get Trey Lance, and they whiff. It's so hard for the smartest people in the game to figure out who's a bust and who's not at quarterback, the most important position. I'm not expecting you guys to have any secret sauce answers, but like if you get a few days at the combine to sit down with a JJ McCarthy or a Drake May or whoever it is, you get to watch him maybe do some drills, maybe not, but you get what, 15 or 20 minutes in a room with him? Yeah,
formals are 15 minutes.
Can you, is there anything you can do in those 15 minutes to figure out, ooh, I don't know about this guy, or that's interesting, this guy has something that unlocks
you need
success.
More than 15 minutes.
No, you need
minutes.
Way more.
Which is why, I mean, if you're truly talking about the quarterback situation, you bring him in on what's called the 30 visits. Right. And sometimes people refer to them as top 30 visits, but what it really is you can bring in 30 dudes into your facility during the pre-draft process.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And those 30 dudes can be, hey, I want to interview my first rounder and make sure it's really the guy that I want, all the way to identified top free agents in the draft that you want to recruit. Right. You want those guys to feel some love, right? Hey, we love you. We bring you in here. And then you feed them a line of bullshit on Saturday of like, man, we wanted to draft you, but we had another need and another position. I got overruled, but we still really want you to be here. Remember, we brought you in. Yeah. Right. And they try and play that recruiting game a little bit. And so it's everything in between. But if you're truly talking about a franchise quarterback, you got to get him in the building for a day. And you can find out a lot about a guy in a day. Right, you put him through a bunch of meetings, you make him meet with everyone, you just pick his brain and get everyone's opinion on him with a 24-hour period and then make that decision. You really don't get much in these 15 minutes with these dudes at the combine.
No, especially because they're coming from meeting to meeting to meeting. So you know they're kind of like all over. And when Jay's right, when you get him for a day, everybody's talking to him. And then you go ask everybody. And then the doctors are getting to see them and hang out with them. And honestly, you spend more time with the doctors at the combine than you do anybody. So if anybody had a better feel for you, it's them. And they're so funny and fucking cool that when you get in there with them, that you're just kind of laughing and hanging out, and they're kind of pulling on you and prodding on you. So when you do go to the coaches, now you're like, oh, shit, this is different. These guys are serious. And all of a sudden, they're trying to fucking be serious, and you're like, are we being serious? Or are you fucking – I don't understand what's going on right now. Like, and then all of a sudden, Sunday night, you're like, I got to run? I gotta fucking do what? I just set an MRI machine for 7 hours. Fucking kidding me, dude! I had to get everything X-rayed, MRI'd. You're there all day at the hospital, and you're at a real hospital, and there's real people that are really sick, and you're like, do I need to be here? Do I need to be in this MRI machine?
Friday is the medical day for the O-lineman. So on the schedule, 8 a.m. starts your X-rays. And you are in medical scheduled until 6:30. So you're just in an MRI tube or in a waiting room all day long.
Wow.
And it, without fail, every year, an MRI tube breaks.
Yep.
And then you're shuttled to a different hospital. Like the amount of time I've had to bring every year. So I've gone to my third combine. My first 2 years, I've had to bring food and dinner to guys because they missed it because they were in medical.
Yep.
Right? Like, and they're like, hey, we got back. Dinner's closed. It's like, all right, Chipotle or Jimmy John's or Chick-fil-A. Like, make your decision. I know that's what's around here, and I will bring it to you. Right? It's crazy what they put these dudes through at the combine, like the mental side. And they've tried to be better. The worst was 2 years ago when they made them run at night. Right? Like, when they're like, hey, like, the running backs didn't even get on the field until, like, 9 p.m. because they were trying to do this thing with the NFL Network because everything's a big money grab for the NFL.
That's right. So it's
like,
prime time. Let's go.
That would suck.
It's 9 o'clock not at night. Fair to these players, dude. That. It's just, I don't know. I'm salty about the combine. I wish they just did it better. I wish there was more football and it wasn't just about this testing and Daniel Jeremiah and the talking heads going, he's going to want to improve that time. That's not, it's like, shut the fuck up.
What about the, and one more quick thing and then we'll get to Booney's mic here, but there's now Rosenhaus, and by the way, Jeremiah is an agent. Jeremiah helps run an agency. He's a partner. You've got two of the top agencies now. Is it Athletes First and Rosenhaus that are telling their players, do not take the S2 cognitive test? That replaced the old Wonderlic test, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Saying, because the test scores get leaked, you know. What do you make of that?
Here's what I think is funny. So I know who the guys who did that test and put the aptitude test on last year was the Houston Texans. They had John Michael take it, right? And he took it. He's like, that was a weird test, dude. And he went through it. And then so when that test got leaked, they were like, hey, he didn't do so great on that test. I was like, ooh, I know the Texans gave that test. Like, hey, had everyone take that test. Texans took him second overall. So how much did that really affect what they thought about him? Or was it all a ploy so that the Carolina Panthers didn't take him at number one.
We can throw Tepper.
Like, you have to understand everything that happens in pre-draft is calculated by these teams. Like, guys like Chicago will bring in someone on a 30 visit that they have zero intention of drafting. Zero intention. Just to screw with everybody else. And there'll be teams that do that all the time. They'll be like, hey, we don't really want this guy, but I bet you the teams behind us do, so let's act like we're going to take him and maybe they'll trade up with us. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many of the little chess moves, but I don't see a reason not to take a test, right? I don't think that it hurts you unless you're really stupid. Like, you really should probably not take that test, and there's some dudes out there where you're like, hey, one hand red, one hand yellow, right, left. But overall, like, I think it's a good thing to take those tests because, I mean, the NFL is a complicated beast, and they need to see, can you handle things? Can you process things? Like, I think it's fine to take it. I really don't see an issue taking those tests.
I agree. Plus, I don't believe half the stuff coming out anyways. Like, when they're like, CJ Stroud didn't do well, you're like, that's a fucking lie. He went number two overall. He had a great season. How many people see? You guys are believing it again. You're believing exactly what these teams want you to because the Houston Texans loved him that much. They were like, watch this. We're going to say he failed this S2 test, and everybody's going to hate him. Instantly, everybody was like, oh, my God. They were like, see, they're all fucking idiots. We don't care what you do on a test. This test was failable from the beginning. It was not passable in any way. But you sat down and you fucking took it like we asked you to. There's your test. There's the simplest fucking test we've asked you. If we ask you to do something in this fucking time frame, I expect that you do it. If you don't do it, don't expect these doors to open. Ever. That's how this league is fucking run. That's why I love this league. Because when the coaches call you, they're like, hey, you did it. You fucking did what I asked you to do, and I know it hurt really, really bad, but now we're going to pay you. And you're like, thank you. They're like, you passed. You passed the fucking test, stupid. It wasn't hard. You just had to keep going and going and going and going. And when you do, dude, it's fucking awesome.
I was
going
to see if we could take the test on this podcast, but you have to go to an S2 location. You have to go to a physical location to take the test.
I can get us Wonderlics. You want to take a Wonderlic with us?
We could do. If we could.
It's fucking
how long does it take? Can we do it on the pod?
I think you only get 10 minutes.
You only get 12. It's 12 minutes.
Yeah, it's 50 questions. Yeah, 12
I walked
minutes,
in
right?
the other day when the boys were all taking them. And I tried fucking with them, and they were like, "Stop, stop." I was like, "Okay."
If you can, if you can get a Wonderlic, I will take a Wonderlic on this.
Podcast. Oh yeah, I got a ton of them. I get two.
Okay. Yeah, we have practice.
It can
tests.
Be an off-season one. Okay, Boone, give us one more. Give us your non-football mic.
My Let's non-football mic.
Your all hockey right, listen, mic. It's listen, a hockey mic.
Listen, this guy. This fucking guy. And I know I'm veering off the path here, but I'm just so excited because the Catalina Wine Mixer is this week. And I haven't slept, and I'm ready to roll. Matt Rempe.
Is it Rempe, right?
Rempe.
I think it's
R-E-M-P-E. Yeah,
Rempe.
So everybody knows I have four kids that play hockey, so I'm always in a rink. And so we watch hockey a ton during the season. So I'm watching the outdoor series. Shout out to the Giants and Jets. Before the game, they look so awkward standing up there holding cue cards like, "Welcome to the outdoor series." I was like, God, nobody could. They should have called me. I'd have been like, "Motherfuckers, it's go time!" Like, I'd have been going crazy. First shift, first debut. This dude fucking drops gloves, and I notice right away who is Slender Man in the corner beating the shit out of somebody, right? And they're the guys are going nuts. They're like, "This is his first debut." So I'm like, dude, this guy instantly has my heart. I'm like, I love
this
guy.
He's 6'8" off skates, by the way.
You should see him on skates. He looks like he's 7 foot. So then the next game, he comes out, same fucking thing. Just starts dropping a dude. Throwing hands like he has never thrown. Like, just going crazy. Instantly, I'm like, okay, now I really like this guy. Third game, comes out, gets like a misconduct, gets a major, gets into a fight for a minute straight. Then he got like, they're skating him off the ice, gets into another fight on the way into the box. Like, I'm like, dude, this guy is my fucking dude right now. Like, just because when he goes out there, dude, the intensity level is on, and everybody's going to be looking at him now like, no. Dude, he has the greatest reach. Like, when he locks out, you're like, there's no way. His helmet came off, and I was like, I'm not even worried. Like, there's no way this Martin dude's going to be able to even touch him. He's just throwing hands, got black eye, bloody nose. I'm like, dude, where is this guy in football? Where the fuck did all these guys go?
I feel like you would have been that guy in football. Why is it that hockey is the only sport that here's a bunch of action happening, and then two guys get mad at each other or feel like they need to defend one of their teammates, and the game stops, everyone clears out, and two dudes drop gloves and circle, and it doesn't stop. No one stops it until someone hits the ice.
Dude.
Well, could you imagine, like, in the NBA or – I mean, the NFL would be hilarious. All of a sudden, like, dude. A play – the ball snapped, a play stops, and, oh, my God, there's – Panay Sewell is just squaring up.
That would be –
Max Crosby –
Dude, that would be insanity. It would be so fun. But it would be every play. That's the problem. You're right. Play. And Mackie, believe me, we get our shots in. They get theirs in. They sneak them in all the time.
It's the punter. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they square up on the punter, and you see like four people run in. And they're like, no, stop it.
Dude, no, it's great. And the best is when the guys are fighting on the ice, the refs are like picking up their stuff and tossing it out of the way, like grabbing their sticks and gloves. They know what to do. Dude, I'm just saying, it's a level of intensity that I am like, this has been lacking in all sports. Some dude just out there like, who wants it? Who fucking wants a piece today? Like, I'm like, yeah.
Get but it's you also some. It's also one of the weirdest, most out of context things. I've always said I'm okay with fighting in hockey. Like, the league should just like police it, but I'm okay with fighting in hockey long term if we start to award the winner of the fight a goal or a power play.
Ooh.
Okay, let's put some stakes on this.
I'm in
thing,
that.
Right?
Hey, I'm
let's
not
put
a goal.
Some stakes on
not
it.
A goal, but I'll give you a power play.
We're
if
down,
you win, you stay on.
We're yep. down yeah. four down 4-1, and we need a spark. All right, here we go. Now the other team has to opt into the fight, so they need to get they would get a power
See,
play.
See, that's
obviously.
The problem is you have to drop gloves, because if you drop and they don't, you get in trouble.
You're still going 5 minutes.
So you got to be like
you're still. Yeah, if I'm up 4-1 and that's the case, you drop gloves, I'm skating the other way.
The other team gets
nice job, idiot.
30 seconds for someone else to drop.
See, that's the problem is, in football, if you're going to fight, you got to be calculating. You got to be like, listen, this could cost me 15 yards. It's going to definitely
and
gonna
the
get
the And the next game. Like, this definitely got me 15 yards. The next game, I'll get kicked out. The backup comes in. We might lose the game. Like, there's so many more like factors that go into it.
Yeah. Hockey's 5 minutes and you're back on there. You have fucking 5 minute misconduct and you're back. Make it. If you lose, the other team's in a power play. Dude,
okay.
That would be epic.
Since you're now a big hockey guy and you've got four kids in hockey, It was, I think, 10 or 11 years ago when I used to do like a 4-hour radio show on ESPN Twin Cities. And we did an interview one day with Chris Knuckles Nylan. Look him up, dude. It's Chris Knuckles. His last name is N-I-L-A-N. And he was an enforcer for the Montreal Canadiens and some other teams in the 1980s. And there's this document. So he was like doing a media tour because there was a documentary out about him that was in the theaters. And it's crazy, but it's also kind of sad. I mean, he talked about how he literally for years in the NHL felt like he wasn't good enough or skilled enough to stay in the league and make the money and live the lifestyle unless he was the enforcer. But he dreaded and hated being the enforcer. But it was the only way for him to stay in the league. I mean, like Derek Bougard was like this in the late 90s, early 2000s, where those guys are like, well, I can't score 30 goals and I'm not a top six forward. So crack the knuckles every night. Like, this is the only way that I can be valuable to my team. And it's kind of a sad story, but you should definitely check it out. Chris Knuckles Nylan. I can't remember what the name of the documentary is, but
I'm all about it.
It's a wild lifestyle, man. It doesn't really exist as much in today's NHL.
No.
It's kind of been...
It's gone the opposite way. Yeah, it's more skill, it's more speed, and it's more like stay away from me. That's why, like, when Matt came in, I was like, holy shit. And they were like, right away, they were like, this is his debut, his first shift. Dude, he spent more time in penalty than he has on the ice so far this season. Like, at some point, you're like, okay, Matt, that's enough. But, like, to start it out, you're like, this kid wants everybody to know who the fuck he is. Buddy?
I think it's called The Last Gladiators.
Yes, The Last Gladiators.
Yeah, Last Gladiators.
Dude, I watched the documentary on when they first started wearing helmets. And I was like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. They weren't wearing helmets?
Dude, goalies didn't wear masks.
Dude, goalies, dude, like, when you watch, like, Miracle, and he, like, has that just, like, the plastic Jason Voorhees mask on, and you're like, good night.
Are you serious? Yes. Yeah. Those guys are, they're tough, dude. Tough as shit.
They were wild back then. They were wild.
Sure. I love it. All right.
You guys ready for, oh, go ahead. I got dumb football questions for
you.
Whatever
it.
You guys
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Always ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. It's dumb football questions time. We got a bunch of them here, man. Let's start with this one. This is from Nick K, and he has a dumb cereals question. Mm. How did you get into being a sports agent? What's the average day like as a football agent, which you've been now for a few years?
Yeah, you know, initially I wanted to get into coaching, right? So I blew my ankle up twice in 2019. Had to retire. They told me I could come back and play, but that if I tore my ankle tendon again for a third time, they had to fuse my ankle and I'd have just like a peg leg. And so I was like, 28 years old. Yeah, 28 years old, just had my first kid. I was like, I want to run, jump, do crazy things with you. So that's all she wrote. So I started reflecting, like, what am I going to miss about the NFL? Like, obviously I'm going to miss the locker room. Like, that's number one far and away. But I really was going to miss being like a mentor, an older guy in the room, helping the younger guys come along, like, because I loved that. So I thought about going to coaching. And my wife was like, not a chance. You did not play this long to go back into coaching to make less money and work more hours. Fair. So Chris Giddings, who was my agent my whole career, approached me like, hey, you can do all those things you love, like coaching, mentoring, and staying involved in college football and in the NFL as an agent, and we can select the guys we want to do it with. And jumped right into that, and that was a big piece of the why I got into it. It's because I love the NFL and I love college football. I don't want to have to choose one. And so this allows me to stay in both worlds. And then the other side of it was, like, as a day-to-day, it's exactly like football season, like, flow. It's just changed seasons, right? So, like, January to April is my season, right? My grind time. I'm going pre-draft process. I'm on the road a ton. All-star games, combine, training facilities, like moving and grooving for those first 4 months, getting guys ready to go. That goes into kind of your off season of the summertime, which is recruiting, right? So then recruiting, and I'm on the road a ton in May, June, July, finding next year's class, building off the momentum from the draft that you had of, hey, let's get next year's class in the kitty here and start really getting in front of these dudes. And so I'm on the road a lot.
How do you reach out?
So Instagram. Okay, Instagram's really the best way.
You just creep in social media.
Slide in the DMs, dude. That's like, it's amazing. This generation with their work-life balance, they really only want to respond to DMs. I have an easier time getting kids to DM me back than I do to text me back. Seriously. Like, that's like the preferred mode of communication for a lot of the kids in college right now is DMs on Instagram or... I mean, a lot of them use Snapchat, but I refuse to do that. And so, you know, just going through that, that's recruiting, getting your kitty. And then you want to have I would like to have 30 to 35 offensive linemen that I like and I'm talking to heading into the end of the season, right, into August. And then August through December is actually, weirdly enough, my downtime, right? Like, you're managing your guys in the league, making sure they're good. I'm doing film breakdowns for them, advanced scouting reports for them every week, going to visit them, watch their games on the weekends. But in reality, my day-to-day is pretty slow in the fall because everyone's busy, right? Everyone's in their work, and you're reaching out to college kids during the week, watching their film, talking with them. And so it's more like a standard work week during the season where, like, you need probably 6-8 hours of work a day of watching film, reaching out to guys, but you're home. Right. And that's what I love about this job is I'm home. I get to spend lunch with my kids. I can take my kids to events. I can go hunting in the morning if I need to. And then you roll right back into December. December's the busy, really busy month because that's clothing. That's closing time. Right. That's, hey, that's 30 kids. How many of those kids are right there? How many have fallen off? How many have you disliked because you didn't like them? Who else did you add? And then you have like a group of, you want to have probably a group of 15 guys going into December that you feel like you can try and close. And you're never going to get them all, right? And it's a hard business because you're going to beat a lot of people. But if you just lose the one person, you're still the first loser. But it's a lot of work. The recruiting's the hardest part of this job by far and away. But I love it. It's a ton of fun. You get to stay into it. But yeah, the Decembers are tough months.
So you've probably had to, I mean, you guys, and just to pull back the curtain, it's mostly offensive linemen that you guys rep, or am I wrong on that?
So front seven would be our agency. Okay. I'm our O-line expert, obviously, so I go after most of the offensive linemen. But, you know, so we try and just do what we know we can evaluate. So Zach Zenner's my partner, played running back for the Lions, so he can feel like he evaluates well the running backs, tight ends, linebackers. I can evaluate a D-lineman, an offensive lineman, and if a tight end can block, but...
You wouldn't turn down a quarterback, but
we wouldn't turn one down. But dude, quarterbacks' price tags are high, like high to sign them. Like, I would love to get a quarterback. Like, if I could find a day three quarterback every year, sign me up.
Like a JJ McCarthy, right?
Yeah, sure. God, don't.
Or maybe a UDFA like JJ McCarthy.
Not gonna get sensitive.
It's so close, dude. It's teetering. I'm gonna write it down. If he does a false spell him again, I'll double false spell him.
But you know, we'll take a quarterback. We had Adrian Martinez out of K-State last year. You know, he got a chance with the Lions, didn't work out. He's gonna go play in the USFL this year. But yeah, we just do a lot of front seven on the negotiation side there. But the NIL world is changing this game as well. It's changing our business extremely. I'm looking at agents, big agencies, signing high school kids.
Wow. You know,
I saw GSE, David Cantor's agency. He signed the number one running back recruit in Texas to an NIL deal as an agent. And so now you're
what's the youngest age football player that
– I think Baby Gronk, has an agent already too, probably.
That seems be peaking a little early, I feel like.
You're going to put – here's the problem when you do that. If you put the time and the resources, some of these dudes don't turn out at all. And now you've wasted, 2 years of resources and time on a kid that, man, okay, he was a bust. He was a five-star playing like a one-star, right? But then you're going to hit on guys where I lost a recruit this year that I thought we were really close on and had a great chance to sign. And all of a sudden he's like, I've been with this agency since my freshman year in college. And you're like, oh, so I was fighting an uphill battle the whole way trying to root out a relationship that's been 2 years in the making.
Yeah.
That's a really hard thing to do. And so the NIL world is changing. We have to get more involved in it, which we are this year. Also to protect these kids from the collectives, because the collectives are shady as shit. And they're constantly trying to get money out of the kids' pockets or find a way to weasel out of contract deals. And if you don't have someone that knows what they're looking at those contracts, all those kids see is big, shiny numbers and not the fine print. So that's a big reason why we got in the NIL world, too.
Yeah. Here's a follow-up. This we'll start with Boone on this one. This is from Michael Jenkins. And by the way, you guys keep sending us – we had so many great questions this week. Keep sending us in the YouTube comment section your dumb football questions. Now that you guys are both working with young players, so – you know, Jay agency side, but also overlaps into training and helping kids with film study. Booney, you're running an offensive line training center and working with guys. What are some weird things that you tell rookies going into training camp that they need to know? Are there things you tell them that fans and normal people would never consider important going into their first NFL training camp?
Yeah, we were talking about it yesterday, actually. We were talking about it yesterday with the guards and centers. After we were done taking sets and stuff for the day because a couple of them are getting ready to leave for the combine. We were sitting around talking, and one of the things I told him was like, listen, don't let anything surprise you. Don't let anything shock you. Somebody asks you a silly fucking question, don't act like an idiot. Act like a man. Answer it, okay? Because they ask me a lot of fucking weird questions. They're going to ask you a lot of weird questions. This is how it goes. But also, when you get to training camp, one of the biggest things we tell them is like, hey, man, you got to blend in. You got to all of a sudden be a part of the room. You have to make yourself noticeable somehow. You have to intricately work your way in there because guys like Jay and I are looking for the guys that aren't working but trying to find their way in. They're trying to like weasel their way in, and you're like, that guy's not working though. Like, he's having a blast with us, but he's not working. And so one of the things I tell him is like, in our gym, the rookies always have to hold the bags. We don't make vets hold the bags because when you go to where the fuck you're going, I'm not holding a bag. I'm barely doing any drills. Jay will tell you, I wasn't even walking during the week. But I'm not holding the bag for sure. So we instantly were like, hey, if a bag's on the ground, I'm like, who the fuck you think's picking that up? They're looking at me like, oh, my bad. Like, they're doing a great job. We're just trying to teach them faster. Because like Jay said, the NIL is kind of fucking this up. And it's making guys think they're very important and special. And it's like, listen, dude, you might be special in college. But when you step up into here, you're dealing with trained killers. We just told you that Kirk Cousins is lethal. He doesn't look it, but he is. Everybody is like that. Everybody looks friendly and fun, and you're like, I could get fucked up with that guy all day, but that guy has an agenda, and that guy's trying to fuck with you because he knows, hey, listen, if that guy beats me out, I'm fucked. I'm getting cut. I got kids. I got a wife, so I'm going to start messing with everybody, but when I hit the field, I'm for real, for real. Like we tell him too at the combine, when you punch that fucking bag, I want to see blood. You got to try and fuck that bag up. Like, you won't be these guys out here trying to look all cool and like, I'm not going to hit the bag. Like, we try to ingrain in them how these coaches want it done. Because for fucking 10 years, I heard how the coaches want it done. It's the same everywhere. I want you to move your goddamn ass. I want you to sit down. I want you to fucking strike. It ain't hard. And if you do that constantly, they're going to be like, this is a hell of a player right here. I like this kid. So it's, we're always trying to tell them things. And at the same time,
friendly, family-friendly podcast this morning.
I know, right? It's the truth, though. Like,
roll today.
Dude, when you're talking about these rookies, dude, they come from different worlds, and so you have to let them know. And the great thing is, it's not even me preaching it as much as it is the vets in our gym right now. Mm-hmm. Like, J. Mike is so special to me because he is such an awesome player. John Michael Schmitz. Sorry, I call him J. Mike. He is so fucking big, and he comes in after how many weeks of playing real fucking football, and he looks incredible. And I was like, all the rookies looked at me and I was like, see, they're trained. They're fucking lethal. They know what they're doing. They'll giggle and they'll goof with you, but the minute they get to work, they're fucking working. And they're like, yeah, you're not kidding. I'm like, yeah, don't piss them off. J. Mike is not the one you want to piss off. Even more so, CV is not the one you want to piss. Like, I'm like,
Cordell Volson.
I'm like, wait till you see him.
We need a glossary for Alex.
Oh, yeah. I don't ever say real name. Everyone's got a nickname in my book. But that's what it is. And we tell them, like, hey, this is for real, right? And when coaches ask you real questions, you give them real answers. You don't ever say, I don't know, and you don't ever say no. If you don't know, you fell asleep for something, you shouldn't even be here with us. Like, you have to know everything. When you make a mistake, tell them the truth. Don't ever sit back and be like, so-and-so said. Just sit there and go, I fucked up. This is what I did wrong. This is what I'll do right next time. That's what they want to hear. Straight up, yes, I messed up. I won't do it again. And then they're looking, did you do it again? Because if you did it again, they're going to go, hey, stupid, we talked about this. You're going to go, yeah, we did.
Yeah, repeat errors.
Oh, they hate that shit. They fucking hate it. Like, this is the stuff that we're talking about. This is real ball. This is very crotchety, old, cranky men sitting above you going, what the fuck is this? And you're like, shit. It's straight shit. You might not agree with it, but you better say it. You better be like, you're right, coach. That looks like shit. I can be way better. I can do better, and I'll show up earlier tomorrow. I promise you it ain't going to happen again. Because they have to feel this trust with you, especially with young guys. They have to know you're not fucking with them. They have to know that it's not in one ear and out the other. It hit my brain. I understand what you're saying. Because they'll tell you, if you don't understand, say something right now. Because once I move on, we're not coming back to this. Yeah. And if you let them move on, they're not kidding. If you go like, hey, coach, 20 minutes ago, we were watching, they're going to be like, no. That time is past. We're moving on. The vets need to know other things. So that's why in the gym, they're constantly being thrown around a little bit. But they have a great grasp right now, which I love. They are constantly like, we understand. We're holding bags. We're listening. We're asking right questions. Like, they do a good job of it, which is what we're trying to teach them to do in the gym. Be a vet. Be a good fucking football player. Understand what you're doing.
Yeah, and on top of that, the conversation I have with all our guys too is, don't get sensitive and don't get upset by being a rookie. everyone had to do it at one point in their life, right? You have to fill the water bottles. You have to make sure there's Gatorade in the room. You have to say, if they want you to go out and buy $400 worth of snacks, go get a giant bin from Lowe's, take it to the dollar store, take it to Walgreens, and just, Jesus, I'm throwing shit. And just throw it in there.
He's excited. Right?
Just throw it in there. Like, don't take it personally. Because so many guys, when they come in, and if they're a rookie and they're like, man, I ain't doing that shit. They're like, don't look, I ain't your bitch. Like, all that stuff. It's just like, oh, I'm going to make this dude's life hell. Like, you want to play this game? Like, all of us had to do it, right? J. Mike was telling me last year, he's like, dude, they made me go buy $500 worth of bagels every single week. Yep. Every single week, I had to show up with bagels. He's like, you know what? If they were late, guess who was pacing across the offensive line room waiting for him to come in? Brian Daboll. Like, the head coach is like, John Michael, where the fuck's my bagels? He's like, they're coming, coach. They're on the way, right? Like, it's just part of being a rookie. And then once you get through it and you do your rookie dinner and you move on, you're like, man, that sucked. That was kind of fun. It's a rite of passage.
It was.
And now it's my turn. Yeah. Right? And now it's my turn. And so we just tell guys, like, understand you're going to have to do your rookie duties. You got to earn your stripes in the NFL. You really do. You just earn your stripes. You just do it once. You have a good time with it. You enjoy it. You roll with the punches, and then it's over.
And I would think if you if you're a good sport about it,
we're great.
It moves you up the ladder.
We'll take care of you
with the teammates, right?
You're our guys. Like, hey, listen, rookie, right? Yep. Like, we don't allow if someone else tries to give you shit, be like, hey, that's my rookie. You don't touch him.
Don't touch.
Right? Like, that's a difference. And versus if you're kind of a dick, and the D linemen start getting on you, be like, to the wolves, dude. Have fun.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a respect factor there. And I don't know if we told the story of the rookie Willie Beavers 2016.
I don't think so.
Bad rookie.
I don't know if we want to.
Bad rookie. He sucked.
We had a bad rookie.
He sucked. He was terrible as I'm not talking about the football player. I'm just saying as far as doing his rookie.
By the way, he was like a fourth round pick.
He was.
I think he was the highest draft pick that the Vikings have cut out of training camp.
Yes. So he came in and just refused to do anything rookie related. He's like, nah, my agent told me not to take shit from none of y'all. And we're like, oh boy, this is
you know how that went with me.
Long year for you, my friend. And so he wouldn't get the waters. He wouldn't fill the snack drawers. And eventually Tony was the one that was like, Willie, this is not going to work. You have to do this. And so he finally started doing it, but it was just fighting tooth and nail. Or like, we all were supposed to get breakfast sandwiches one day and he just didn't go get them. And so we made him go get him, and like he missed a lift, and then the coaches run over like, doesn't matter.
We
told him he had to do this.
This is how it went. When he missed that fucking day of sandwiches, we were livid.
So mad.
You don't fuck up the Friday sandwich meal. Friday is fast fucking Friday. I want my sandwich.
Chick-fil-A.
I
want
to go practice.
I want my Chick-fil-A.
And I want to go home, right? I want to get this shit done so I'm not thinking a lot. So he misses the sandwiches, and so we're fucking pissed. So we're like, you know what? We're going to tag his ass back. Hey, Willie. Totally cool you fucked up. Next week, get those sandwiches here on Friday. Get him here early, though. We're like, it's all good. He doesn't realize he has a lift he has to be in. And we're like, yeah, fuck this guy. So he ends up for like 3 weeks missing Friday lifts. Misses them. Like, we sat him down. We're like, you're going to get the sandwiches.
Is this
like
during training camp?
No, this is season. He was practice squad.
He got cut.
Three Fridays in, fucking strength coach comes to me. He's like, what the fuck is with your rookie? I go, what? He's like, he's not been here for lifts. And I was like, you don't say. He's like, dude, he's missed the last three Fridays. I go, you better go tell Tony. Brent Salazar went the fuck upstairs, told Tony, Spielman, and Zim. All three of them come down to me and they're like, what the fuck? I go, what? They're like, why has Willie been missing Friday lifts? I go, not a clue. Don't know.
Willie.
You got to be kidding me. Missing lifts? That's a big deal, boys. They were like, yeah, that's a big fucking deal. Don't fuck with us. Don't ever fuck with us. Ever. Because I'll fucking tag your ass back so hard.
Yeah.
I did so many fucking rookie duties, and I've been reminded by some of the greatest football players ever that I busted my ass. So when people are like, you can't do that, motherfucker, you can do whatever you want. There is no HR in the NFL. They sit upstairs. We sit down. They don't let them in the zoo. Didn't you know that? The coaches tell us all the time, they don't let you down here with you guys, so you can't go upstairs and complain. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. That's how it goes in the league, and that's why it's so fun, because it's run by us. And it's also, like, listen, if you do what you're supposed to do, this will go smooth. But also, let's not forget, Willie also lost the playbook week one into being here.
Week one.
When he lost that playbook, he lost his iPad.
Left his iPad
at the away
hotel room.
Now, bullshit. They were fucking pissed. They were like, how do you forget the most important thing in your life, Willie? I don't know. I don't know. Instantly, Tony looks at me like, what do? I go, fucking crush him.
$10,000.
Crush him. Crush him.
Right here. Ready? This was the bell. $10,000. Conduct detrimental.
We wrote that down so fast. We were like, yeah. And everybody thought we were picking on Willie. Everybody did on the team. Everybody thought we were. The problem was people didn't know what was going on behind scenes. Like, remember the side of the hill, Searles?
Stop. Don't even go.
I'm not going to. Just say that a lot of it was extremely deserving.
He was an extremely
rude person to a lot of good people that we loved. Like EQ, you can't fuck with EQ. You can't fuck with the trainers either. Like, they're kind of like our rookies too. They take care of us, and when we're like, I need new gloves, they're like, not a problem. Need new elbow pad, not a problem. Need new knee braces, not a problem.
From an outsider perspective, you guys, it is a zoo, and you've got you guys have a culture and
codes
and standards and norms, and if you're going to come in and try and go against that grain,
we're going to push back.
You better either know what you're getting into, or
and if you do push against the grain, you better be a baller, right? Because if you're starting, like if you're starting as a rookie, we will give you grace.
Oh, huge grace.
Because you've got a lot of you've got a lot going on, and you're contributing to winning on this football team. If you're a backup or not even dressing, that's when the rookie duties take a big priority, and that's part of you earning your place in the room.
Right.
Right. Like, if you're starting, a lot of this is like, hey, dude, we'll get someone to pick up the sandwiches. You just pay for it.
That's what they do. Right? Like, they make them pay for
it. It's like, hey, we'll handle this. You just write a check. Give me some cash. We'll get someone else to handle these duties when you're starting. But it's when you're not starting, or even if you're on practice squad and you're not doing it. I mean, last story for this is we went to Del Frisco's in Philadelphia. Right, so we went there, I think it was 2016.
16.
Jake Long had just gotten put on the team, and we play what's known as credit card roulette. And so we did this every time we went out to eat, right? Everyone takes their credit card at the end of the day, you throw it into a napkin, and then the waiter pulls them out one by one until the last card in the thing ends up having to pay. Well, Willie decided to join us on this finally. He's like, we're coming. We're like, but if you come, you don't have an option. You play credit card roulette. This is just what we do. First of all, he tried to order fried lobster at Del Frisco's. Like, they were like,
you ordered a lobster. He goes, can you fry it?
He goes, can you deep fry it? And they were like, Del Frisco's. This is not Popeyes. Right? Like, they were like, we don't fry things. He was like, oh, all right, I'll just take the lobster. And so then at the end of it, we told the guy, hey, we're going to play credit card roulette. But you see, when this guy gives you his card, just keep it in the back of your hand. And so we rigged the system. He ended up losing, of course, and then refused to pay. And we knew that was going to happen if he lost. And so he refuses to pay, and it's a problem. You've got Alex Boone freaking out. You've got Joe Berger, a 13-year vet that's like, this is just how the game is played. Brandon Fusco, an 8-year vet. Like, you've got all these vets. Yeah, and then Jake Long sitting in the corner kind of quiet because he had just gotten there, right? And he's sitting there in the corner watching all this unfold. And about 5 minutes into this discussion that's starting to get pretty heated at this point, Jake goes, fuck it, I'll pay, and throws his black American Express card out onto the table. And you hear it, like everyone looks over, and it's like the slow motion where it's like, tink, 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 tink.
Real tink. We're like, real fucking tink.
$100 million boys got this, man. Never mind. We're good to go.
We're good
like,
to go.
It was just so funny with the Jake. We're like, yeah, that's what real money can do. Real money can just throw the black American Express card out in the middle of the table, and everyone just goes, yes, sir.
Okay.
Gotcha.
We'll just tab out now.
Should have seen us all thanking Jake. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate you, buddy.
Love Jake. By the way, Jake Long, love him.
Dumb football questions. Keep sending them in. YouTube comment section. We'll get to it. Throughout the offseason, too, we're going to have a lot more time to dive into even more dumb football questions. So hit us up. By the way, Willie Beavers, as of last year, was still an active member of professional football for the Arlington Renegades of the XFL.
Nice. Is that the UFL now?
They merged with the USFL. It's now the UFL. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see what that league looks like this year. I will watch it. I mean, I'll watch it and see what it goes because it's the problem. Here's the problem with those spring leagues. They're caught in this middle purgatory area, right? Because people love college football because you're watching it with your heart, right? You just love your team so much, and you love the excitement of college football that like you're just so invested. People watch the NFL to watch the freak shows. Like, I want to see Odell Beckham do one-hand catch
fantasy
at the pylon.
Too.
Like, yeah. I want to see Nick Bosa bear crawling after Patrick Mahomes after doing the slide move, right? Like, I want to see the freak showsness. You go into the XFL, and you have neither, right? You have, like, no loyalty to the Seattle Sea Dragons. And like the
speak
freak
for yourself, Jake.
And the freak shows are not there because they're in the league. And so it's this push pull of like, is this good football or is this bad football? Like, I can't tell what I'm watching and I don't have a ton of loyalty to either of these teams. Like, I'll just go outside. And that's the other hard part about the, is it's right during the best time of the year to be outside.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's in the summer, it's in the spring, and you're like, can I go golf on a Sunday or do I want to watch the Renegades versus the Stallions? Right? Like, it's one of those hard things to watch, but I'll definitely watch this year to see if the merger made it better quality football, because a lot of guys got cut, right? They had 16 teams, and I think now it's down to 12, right? So there's the – yeah, it's down to 8, actually. I think you're right. It's down to 8. So, like, a lot of the stuff got weeded out, so I'll see kind of what this season looks like. I'm excited for it.
Let's go. We should do picks for the UFL, actually. We should do offseason.
Oh, we should.
Let's do it.
Can we do it?
Staking a beer.
All of us also have to take a team. We all have to take a team and claim them as our own.
For sure.
Right? We have to claim a team as we own. We all have to buy a hat. We all have to buy a hat of the team that we are going to support for the entire year. We have to pick one. I'm super down for that.
I'm in for this for sure.
Super down.
I am down.
And if we record a pod and you don't know if your team won or lost, staking a beer.
Oh, guaranteed.
You have to follow them. You got to be loyal.
My guy Case Cookus is the quarterback for the Memphis Showboats, so maybe they might be the leader.
I'm so excited for this. So
I think I'm gonna go Birmingham Stallions. I'm claiming it right now. Birmingham Stallions. That's my squad. That's my dude. I got Adrian Martinez. My quarterback's on that team, so I'm claiming
him. The UFL Super Draft took place on January 15th of this year. Can you guys name who the number one pick was?
No.
Quarterback
Quinton Dormady, previously with the Orlando Guardians. Where'd he go to college? Quinton Dormady.
Nope.
He went to... Oh, he played for... So he was with Tennessee for a few years, transferred to Houston, then transferred to Central Michigan in college. Oh, okay. He put up.
Central Michigan's got a little squad, man. Got a little squad. Staley, AB, this guy.
First round. Yeah.
I think that's Willie went there too, didn't he?
Freak shows.
He did.
We'll see. I'm excited. Oh, I got Birmingham Stallions. Sign me up.
Boom. All right. We got some film reviews on the YouTube channel this week too. These guys are going to be at the combine. I'm going to try and corral you guys for some combine. Like emergency podcast later.
Cannot
late
wait,
night.
By the way. Oh, yeah.
It's gonna be late at night if you're going to do it.
Cause no, don't worry.
Just need like the earbuds and a phone anywhere
we'll
you
get
can
it.
Find.
We'll get it.
A place to sit down. So click that like button and the subscribe button on the O-Line Committee YouTube channel. And again, a 5-star rating and a positive review on Apple and Spotify helps us spread the word about this thing. We'll see you guys next time.